This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, we continue with Micah Hanks exploring the strange, the unknown, about UFOs, Moonlit's second moon, mystery satellites, and more. Micah, continue, please.
Well, we look at, I mean, all of the range of phenomena we've discussed over the course of this conversation. We could, Gene, go back to previous conversations you and I have had over the years on the show. And the question to me at the end of the day is, how much of what we're talking about here has to do with actual UFOs? Now, again, these moonlits, presumably that's what these things were back in the 1950s that were being observed. They were unidentified, and although maybe not flying, they were unidentified orbiting objects, so UOOs, but that just didn't have the ring that UFOs does. Either way, it was unexplained aerial phenomena, and it certainly does fall into that category of strange things we observe in the skies. But trying to separate the wheat from the chaff, so to speak, I mean, we can look at this, and I think that there is a case to be made that we know more now than we did decades ago, and thereby some of this phenomena is explainable. The problem is people use the outdated information from decades ago, and sometimes more than a century ago, in the case of what Tesla believed he was monitoring there in his laboratory, and we see that they build this onto a narrative that may be more speculation and myth, like the Black Knight satellite, rather than actual fact. And of course, there's still people who debate that with me and have argued, well, you know, what you're describing here about the Black Knight satellite and all these theories about what this thing, this one, presumably, may actually be, it doesn't fit all the criteria. I have people who get angry with me when I cite the research from military sources and from scientific literature, but I don't talk about various, you know, more fringy, I guess, kind of interpretation. If I leave out, for instance, the theory that I think that the whole thing about the 13,000-year-old satellite had something to do, memory serves, with, you know, a hypothetical translation of some sort of a radio message that, again, this dated back decades and decades ago. I didn't include that in some of the writing I've done on the origins of the Black Knight satellite mystery because, to me, it wasn't very good information, and I've had people write to me and say, you left this out, by the way. I often have to reply and say, thank you for pointing that out, but, you know, I'm not going to use incredible data in support of what I hope will be a very credible argument about this study. So maybe we could, you know, at this point kind of move along to looking at, well, what then does constitute real, what you'd call real UFO phenomena, if this doesn't. I had a researcher just a couple of years ago tell me that he thought that the abduction phenomena was the most important aspect of the broader UFO problem and how we're going to understand this. And I'm thinking, but then again, is UFO abduction something that we can say is always associated with UFO observations? I mean, how many times do you hear about people who have the nighttime experience where they're surrounded by beings or something like this, and someone awakens into this kind of an experience, but they have no recollection of seeing a UFO? Not many people who say that they have had these experiences and may even have had ongoing encounters like this. They also are people who may never have ever seen a UFO in their lives. And I recall Whitley Strieber and others over the years even doubting whether what they were experiencing was necessarily something ufological, if not something completely apart from the so-called UFO mystery. So, again, I think that, you know, if what we're really aiming to do is study UFOs, we benefit from studying things which, through proper critical analysis, may end up at the end of the day not being the UFOs we were looking at, because what that does, again, is that helps us separate the non-ufological things from what really may be the best evidence that helps us move forward, which many would argue after decades and decades, you know, we still don't have enough of to make a good, solid case for UFOs. So that's one of the problems we face. At what point do we say we either have not enough evidence or we have not accumulated enough, and therefore we should cease study? There were some who would say that by the 1960s that was the case. I mean, is that the case today? I do believe that the anecdotal evidence stands for something. There are certain videos and photographs I've seen over the years that are good, but, you know, talking with David Marler a few months back, he had mentioned that no photo in this digital era is ever going to be good enough. So, I mean, if we can't even rely on decent photographs of these things, what good evidence do we have that helps us substantiate the claim for UFOs and their existence?
How do you know anymore? That is really difficult to say. Now, one thing that has been done that helps us separate the cases, the real ones and the ones not so real, things like Kevin Randall has been doing, where he's been going back into older cases, trying to look at them and re-verify the information. This is why he disbelieves a lot about Roswell. Not that nothing happened there, but we don't have the evidence of space beings, the evidence that it's a crashed spaceship. All that stuff sort of fades away into, well, something happened. We have no idea what it was. And probably, unless there's some secret information somewhere that we discover, we'll never solve it. It's one of those insolubles, which sounds almost like something you mix with water. But it's like that. He's looking at Socorro, New Mexico, which I think holds up a lot better. So that's an important thing, that we've existed for so long on these older cases, depended on them as being the linchpins of UFO reality, and now we're realizing, you know what? Maybe not so.
Right. Yeah, with the discussion of the Black Knight satellite and the moonlets, you might even look at, you know, the information I'm presenting in relation to that. You might look at that as being similar to what Kevin Randall has done. By the way, a researcher that I have so much respect for. Randall's a really intelligent guy, and I happen to often do listen when I'm traveling, and I do travel often. So I do listen to the Paracast when I'm on the road. I haven't gotten to that episode yet, and I really want to listen to that. And people, many would say, well, but isn't he talking about Roswell? Didn't you guys say you were going to close the book, and now you got Micah Hanks on there talking about it? But I'll say this, and then I promise this will be, at least for me, the final addenda you'll get about Roswell. It is important to look back with the acquisition of new information or the reinterpretation of old information. And it is important to try and, again, look at these things critically and say, can we close the book on this? I often say this. You also had Jeffrey Meldrum on your show recently, another fascinating interview. He's a proponent of belief in the so-called Patterson-Gimlin Bigfoot film. And I want to tie this in with ufology, but here's what I want to say about that film. People continue to argue about, is it real or is it not? Is it the best evidence or is it nothing? And I say, leave it alone, let it be, and let's keep looking for good evidence. And when people ask why, I say, the Patterson-Gimlin footage, as good as it may look, it has not succeeded in convincing the scientific community that a physical, flesh and blood, biological creature, some, you know, relic hominid, exists. That footage obviously is incapable of providing the smoking gun. It is not the proof we're looking for because it has remained incapable of convincing the scientific establishment. So we need, therefore, to find better evidence. And so you could say with Roswell, too, it was long viewed as being one of the best UFO cases of all time. And on further reflection and inquiry over the most recent series of books that have been written on this and over the last few years, the critical analysis seems to indicate that it is less than it was once probably thought to be. And so why is it important for someone like Kevin Randall to, again, spend all this time disproving what was once the best UFO case? If it's not the best case, why worry about it? Well, if we can at very least say that it's not the best UFO case and it's time to move on, maybe then people will actually see the importance of not emphasizing Roswell. And yet there are continuously books written about it, you know, festivals planned around it. That's okay, but let's differentiate between the UFO industry and the actual research, which is looking ahead at trying to find that good evidence, you know, whether that be some piece of film or something else or some, again, hopefully physical evidence that would satisfy the chemist or the physicist out there. That seems to be really what we're lacking in the UFO narrative today, and which at times, Gene, has brought me back around to a more skeptical perspective on things. But I'll tell you that what I can't rule out is that, again, when I talk to people who say the thing was disc-shaped, I saw it with four other people. Here are their information. Here are their names. You can call them. You can talk to them. This is what we saw. We all saw this. Please don't share our information. This is just for your benefit. You know, we thought this might be useful to you. And when you have these kind of circumstances where you have no physical evidence, but somebody who says, or a group of someone's who say that they've seen something, and yet they don't seem to be trying to, you know, get attention or fame or notoriety from that. You know, I mean, I realize that that anecdotal data is not going to prove at the end of the day that UFOs, whatever they may be, that they exist. And we can leave that interpretation for a later time. At this moment in time, all we really need to work, I think, focus on is working at trying to determine whether there is a phenomena or perhaps several phenomena that constitute broader ufology and belief in them. If we can define that and we can say, yes, there is something that exists.
Let's go on to more of this, the fundamentals of the UFO mystery. and more with Micah Hanks of the Graylian Report. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know, the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Now's the time to refresh your home and save at Lumber Liquidators Spring Flooring Kickoff Sale. Our stores are packed with the latest spring trends like modern waterproof wood look flooring. It's up to 34% off. Or choose from more than 200 styles of pre-finished hardwood from $149. Get deals on over 55 varieties of bamboo from $159. More from 59 cents and special financing. Hurry, the Spring Flooring Kickoff Sale's going on now. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So it appears that Chris O'Brien, who was on special assignment, wasn't able to get back in time for our session with Micah Hanksy. Really sorry that he couldn't get here. But we're talking about here not just old mysteries related to UFOs that we kind of sort of don't talk about anymore. We're talking about the fundamentals, which is there enough out there now to say there is a UFO mystery, that something is happening we cannot understand, and how do we figure it out? And what's been troublesome to me, and I've written some columns about this recently, is that most UFO research organizations, or UFO so-called research organizations, are in the business of collecting sightings, and they publish those sightings. Oh, golly gee whiz, look at this sighting, look at this abduction. Okay, what's going on? Well, we all assume it's spaceships, therefore let's wait for the government to tell us. And if the government doesn't tell us, we can at least use them as an excuse. Well, if the government doesn't tell us what UFOs are, we can't find out. They have the secret, and we've got to persuade them. If we can't persuade them, well, maybe the president of the United States will tell us. But no, the president never tells us. We don't have Hillary Clinton, who promised to look into it. Not that it means anything. The guy in there now, I don't think he's ever been asked that question. So if he's ever asked, I guess he'll give us an answer. Or maybe he'll blame it on Clinton. Or blame it on the fake news media. I don't know. I don't want to get into politics. I have no idea what kind of answer you'd get if that question was even asked. But we can't pawn this off to somebody. We can't blame somebody else for the fact that loads of people around the world have seen things they do not understand. How do we get back to figuring out what they did see? I think Kevin Randall does one thing that's good, which is to take the stuff that we assume to be genuine, give it another look, and if it passes muster, well, that's another piece of data. But how do we interpret that data?
Yeah, at the end of the day, that's an important question. I'll tell you what's also important, and we don't have to get into politics just to bring up the fake news thing. There was a recent report. It's slipping my mind which news agency carried this, but there was a skeptic who was quoted about the origins of fake news. And what had been said in the article had been that fake news began in the 1950s and 60s with civilian UFO groups, which were disseminating bad information about, you know, UFO landings and alleged alien contact, close encounters and things, and that the media would run with this and report this, you know, namely in the tabloids, but occasionally more venerable and reliable news sources would still pick up on these fake news stories, so saith the skeptic. You know, I find that a very odd argument because, I mean, if you look at the history of American journalism, Gene, we can go all the way back and we can see that, again, in the age of Nikola Tesla or much earlier, I mean, Sam Clemens, a.k.a. Mark Twain, good friend of Tesla's, had actually, on record, authored newspaper hoaxes himself. Now, he would often do that because he was trying to make a political point. Now, there was a California company one time that was cooking their books, and basically a lot of investors had lost their money, and it had a lot of negative repercussions. He wanted to attack companies that would cook their books like that and do unscrupulous things with other people's money. And so he wrote this entire hoax about a man who'd lost all his fortune investing in one of these California companies, murders his family, slits his own throat, and rides into the nearest town with his nearly severed head hanging off his body as he rides on horseback. I mean, it was an intentionally gruesome story that Mark Twain completely fabricated as political commentary to attack these companies and show the negative repercussions of their misuse of other people's money. So the point is there, you also had what were called the Anandas, kind of an esoteric term, but these were the liars' clubs of the day. And you had groups of people who would sit around and, you know, drink whiskey, play cards, and try and cook up stories that the local dailies, the newspapers, would carry. So fake news is by no means something that we can blame APRO or the other civilian UFO groups of the golden age of ufology. We can't blame them for fake news. I'm sorry. That is a fundamental untruth, and that is a misunderstanding of the way that the media has often employed, and some writers doing it for virtuous reasons, but nonetheless, that media in America has involved fake news stories for more than a century. But what that does show us is that if people are willing to try and pin this on the UFO community, I think that it says a lot about the broader mistrust of UFO advocates, especially by modern skeptics. I was revisiting something interesting today, Gene, that you'd appreciate. It was a debate on Nightline from back in the day. You may have seen this, I mean, when it actually aired, but it was Stanton Friedman and Philip J. Klass debating the UFO subject on Nightline. Boy, imagine if you could have that kind of a you know, television show these days. I mean, everything's reality TV. I would love to see some good, you know, put Kevin Randall in a good skeptic, you know, toe-to-toe and have him on Nightline today. You'd just never see that today. But in this debate, it's very interesting because you have Philip Klass, who often would, and he said this about virtually everyone that he attacked, he would dig up things about their criminal record. He would dig up things that would paint this individual, the UFO, the alleged UFO witness or a captive, abductee experience, or whatever you want to call them, he would dig up things that would cast them in a negative light, which may or may not have anything directly in relation to do with the UFO experience that they had. I think that kind of character assassination is something that we've often seen. Again, it's fine to be skeptical, but I think that when you're a professional debunker who utilizes those kinds of tactics to play debate team and construct a debate and an argument around things that are tangent to the experience the person supposedly had, we begin to see problems. You pair that with an ideology where if 99% of these UFO sightings can be explained, then why not 100? And thereby, we're just going to presuppose that they're all bunk, and we're going to, no matter what conclusion we come to, it's always going to be in favor that, or the idea that no UFOs exist. When you think about these things, and then you look at the way that now in this era of fake news, we can blame the UFO community essentially for this modern phenomenon. You know, it's almost absurd.
Well, yeah, but you can look back at fake news back into the 19th century when newspapers would publish stories to get circulation. And maybe advertising, although maybe the 1897 airships sometimes.
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting one because, see, I'm of the mind, I am interested. Some of the 1890s airship newspaper articles and items, they've interested me. There was a historian named Timothy Parrott who wrote a book. It's kind of hard to get a hold of, and you might be able to find copies online. The only way I obtained one was that I'd written an article where I referenced this guy and mentioned I'd like to get a copy of this book, and he found my article and wrote to me and said, if you'd still like a copy, I've got a few. And so I PayPal'd him the money immediately and got my copy and sat and read it in one sitting the night it arrived. But it's a story all about the alleged 1897 airship mystery and with specific interest in this inventor from Sacramento who purportedly had been involved in the construction. Charles Abbott Smith, I believe, had been the name of the inventor. This book tells more about his life. This, you know, Parrott was a historian who was chronicling everything he could find about this Charles Smith character. But at the end of the book, there's some very interesting commentary about these airships. Now, I do think that the majority, at very least, if not all, of the 1890s articles probably were newspaper hoaxes, and that there were many of them that were, you know, being circulated, different varieties of stories that appeared in different newspapers and things. You do have the occasional one-off, though, where something weird turns up, like there was a Texas based newspaper that carried a story about a rancher who goes out into his field at night and sees this craft and this bright light emanating from it, and there's a man walking away from it, and the guy says, "Who are you?" And he's wielding a gun and everything, the rancher, and the man says, "Never mind my name right now, call it Smith." I mean, he actually uses the exact same name of the later alleged airship inventor.
And hey, we've got more to come about this airships we're into, and more with Micah Hanks of the Graylian Report. With Gene and Micah, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Honey, what is that in your CPAP mask?
Oh, that's just my mold collection.
Ew, gross! And what is that?
What, that bacteria colony right there?
Yeah, cool, huh?
Okay, CPAP users, admit it. You're not always as careful about cleaning your system as you should be. Unfortunately, a dirty mask and hose can make you sick. respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-944-1065. SoClean is hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP comes out clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let germs wreak havoc on your health. Call in the next 10 minutes for your risk-free trial. 1-800-944-1065. That's 1-800-944-1065.
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no. Wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
Hi, this is James Fox from Chasing UFOs. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We continue with Micah Hanks, and we're going back to the 1897 mystery, where you'd encounter these people with perfectly ordinary names, and sometimes they'd say, you know what, we're testing this aircraft, and eventually we will reveal to the world what it really is and what we can do.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think we have to be really careful in terms of taking, you know, at face value, those newspaper reports. Because, again, on the heels of this discussion about fake news, it would be a little irresponsible to be talking about the way that fake news is a part of American culture going back well into the last couple of centuries and then say, but I also believe these extremely outlandish stories about airships. I mean, that's by no means what I'm saying.
When you talk about fake news, first of all, the modern conception is that there were places, sites, forget about who runs them. Some say the Russians ran some. They deliberately fabricate stories that met expectations in terms of the political world in order to get traffic, to get AdSense dollars from Google. Mm-hmm. It was all about that. That's what fake news was, which, again, of course, would be similar to a newspaper in the 19th century fabricating stories in order to gain circulation, to stand out from the pack. Look, we got this story here. But that's also what, the National Enquirer and the Weekly World News?
Yeah, absolutely. And in likelihood, the majority of the 1890s, if not all, again, of the 1890s airship stories, they were probably just that. I have, at very least, though, because in the name of being open-minded, not so open-minded that my brain falls out of my head, although I remove it at night and keep it in a nice, you know, container by my bed when I sleep, just, you know, it's good for you. But I maintain that you have to be open-minded enough to at least to entertain the idea, knowing that there were varieties of crewed airships that, you know, had predated the 1896, 1897 era, and that some of them actually had gotten off the ground. I mean, there's an article at my website, if you go to MicahHanks.com/blog, where you can read all the articles that I've got up there, and they cover a wide range of subjects, not just UFOs, but one about the airships that I delve into actually names all of the different California airship projects, crude though they were, some of which got off the ground and absolutely predated the 1896-1897 period where this airship wave was going on. I also get into Charles Abbott Smith, and I've talked a good bit about whether or not there's a likely case to be made that he indeed built an airship that somehow was kept all out of the history books, unlike the others that preceded it. And, you know, you've got some of these inventors like Solomon Andrews, who had even built airships, I think, as early as the 1860s. One of his models was test flown at the Smithsonian and was actually observed by President Lincoln. Andrews had hoped to try and use this airship for purpose of trying to aid the Union Army. At that point, they basically thought that it would be too costly to build these things, and that with the tides of war turning, it wouldn't necessarily aid the war effort. But Andrews later revisited that idea and wanted to try and get investors for building an airship, which would be the first, had it gotten off the ground, no pun intended, these would have been the first airships that would have provided commercial transportation via air between New York and Philadelphia. Again, that never ended up happening. But Andrews had test flown a simpler design, and effectively so, for Lincoln during the or toward the end of the Civil War. So, I mean, yeah, many don't know about these instances where there were actual valid airships that had been built. The question is, could something of the magnitude that was reported in the Sacramento Bee and other newspapers there around 1896 and 1897, I mean, could something that large have successfully flown and yet managed to be kept off of the history books? Now, I'll say this, Gene, there's one other reason why we might see things like that showing up, UFO reports, that is, in newspapers, that does not have to do with, you know, AdSense in the modern era and, you know, increasing circulation as it did back decades ago. That would have been after the end of the Second World War, the purpose of trying to utilize propaganda to misinform our enemy. And as Joseph Farrell and others have asserted, New York Times reports of a UFO hovering over the River Thames with an iron cross on it. What does that obviously seem to entail? Well, that the Germans had built flying saucers. Why would the New York Times then report on something like this after the 1947 observation by Kenneth Arnold and several other subsequent observations? In likelihood, it was probably something that was intentionally put in that newspaper with hope that the Russians would see that and interpret it as being great. The Americans have gotten some great new technology, probably acquired from the Germans. And they were using probably the flying saucer craze, some intelligence agency presumably, to their benefit so as to try and misinform the enemy about the kind of weaponry and technology we had at our disposal. That's Joseph Farrell's idea, which to me, that's a really plausible scenario, and again, why there may be a fake news story that would have appeared in a venerable news source like the New York Times.
Well, that certainly is open for many, many fascinating possibilities, definitely, that might have happened. But, of course, there are theories that some of the early UFO episodes were government fake-ups. We have, for example, James Carrion with that book he came out with some time ago called The Rosetta Deception about the ghost rockets. He was going to add that to Roswell, too, but he's kind of been out of touch since then, so I have no idea what he plans.
That was interesting, by the way, because I remember when you guys had him on the Paracast, Gene had mentioned, when he began talking about the ghost rockets as being essentially a psyop. I own the Rosetta Deception. I've read it, and I think that the information in the book is actually quite good. I think that he refers to Uncle Joe, Joseph Stalin, throughout the book, and I think, frankly, as a matter of editorial opinion, would have been better just to call him Stalin, but that's a minor critique. But I remember Chris O'Brien mentioning, he says, I'm surprised some of this may have slipped by Micah Hanks. Well, let me just say for the record, especially if James Carrion is listening, and perhaps after this maybe he'll get back in touch, I fundamentally agree with his argument in the book. And in my book, although where I'm talking about the ghost rockets, I begin with the Scandinavian case, and I do look at those as a matter of history. I by no means make the case that there's any kind of an alien technology behind these, nor that there is necessarily a continuum between those reports and the later technologies that I outlined throughout the decades that would follow, which were, again, covered in the book because they were similar enough to projectile or jet technologies, which would have been of some sort of experimental design. What's more interesting than the 1946 Scandinavian cases, in truth, are the numerous cases that would follow in the decades thereafter, and the ongoing reports, which really got me interested in writing a book about that to begin with. The Aviation Safety Reporting System, which is a database maintained by NASA, it's hard to find good UFO cases in that database. And I've spent a couple of years combing it, but I've found some really weird ones among the few that I have found, one of which, of course, involved this bizarre, rectangular, dark-colored object that suddenly just passes very quickly under an aircraft. And for several minutes thereafter, it experienced all kinds of different electronic disturbance on board the plane. It was a passenger plane. They couldn't identify this thing. They said whatever it was big, flat, rectangular, dark, and moving extremely fast. And it was able to duck under their aircraft and avoid a collision. But they experienced all this electronic disturbance on board the craft in the cockpit for 20, 25 minutes thereafter. When you find something like that in the Aviation Safety Reporting System database, reported by professional pilots who report anonymously so as to avoid things like litigation and concerns about that, I mean, I find those to be very interesting reports. The problem is it makes them, by virtue of their anonymity, it makes them more difficult to follow up on as UFO investigators. And, they're relegated to that wasteland of the anecdotal UFO evidence that we have, where there are these remarkable stories that do seem to describe extremely advanced aviation technologies in our midst, and yet which we seem to have no accountability for or idea about their origin, apart from the speculation.
So many possibilities, but where do we center on something that UFO researchers can look for? Because right now there's so little UFO research even being done.
This is an issue I've been actually talking about with my friend Robbie Graham. He's putting together this anthology that I'm contributing to, which is about sort of reframing the debate on UFOs. And I see that one of the things I wanted to talk about in that essay that I contributed for Robbie dealt with my favorite book on UFOs, which I know I've brought up in the past with you, Gene, and it's called The UFO Handbook. It was written by Alan Hendry, who was... He was a pro-UFO investigator, but a skeptical one. But nonetheless, a pro-UFO investigator who even Philip J. Klass referred to the book as one of the most important books ever written on UFOs. So when you've got a skeptic like Klass who's talking about the importance of a book written by a UFO proponent, I mean, that in itself is you know, no small feat.
Therefore that damning with faint praise that we even accept the book because Klass would recommend it? That seems just... like such an oddball thing to happen. We've got a lot more to happen with one more segment with our friend Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items. And entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if there were no contracts, no activation fees, no tracking, tracing, or draconian gimmicks, all on America's largest 4G LTE networks? Introducing PixWireless.com. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, and unlock GSM phones instantly. Bring your own device and make the switch today. Here's how. Call or click 1-866-205-9513 or PixWireless.com, spelled P-I-X, PixWireless.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. CalBend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
So indeed, one more segment with Micah Hank's fascinating journey through the frontiers of UFO research. So all these side issues such as mystery satellites and moonlets and the 1897 airships, finding a way to actually get some research to be done. Because I hate to think here, as I get older, that I'm going to leave wherever I'm going to leave. I'm going to go to wherever I go to. And some people will suggest where I'm going. Whatever it is, I hate to think that after all these years, we learn absolutely nothing, and it just keeps seeming that's the way it is.
Right. I mean, I have that same concern, Gene. But hey, guess what? Here it is, the final segment, and there is hope. And, you know, I'll refer to something that one of the folks there at forums.theparacast.com had posted. They wanted to know, could something like the Black Knight satellite be monitored or captured in any way via an effort by the U.S. government? Well, I think the problem is that in likelihood, in my opinion, the majority of seemingly exotic aircraft that are buzzing around out there, I certainly think that there are some. And I, in my opinion, the best evidence in modern times for these are these large triangular-shaped aircraft. I mean, I've spoken with more individuals than I can count, former U.S. Air Force servicemen, housewives, you know, geologists, physicists, astronomers. I've spoken with a lot of people over the years who have said that they've seen these things. Average Joe's making a midnight run to the local donut store. I mean, I kid you not. And I've reported on a lot of these on my podcast, The Graylian Report, and I've written about them a lot of over the years. One of my favorite cases, of course, occurred in, I believe, January of 2001 up there in, I think it was southern Ohio. A number of different police departments and officers from different municipalities and different police departments observed this aircraft, this very large triangular aircraft, as it's passing over this region. Or I'm sorry, I think it's in Ohio. I meant Illinois. So anyway, the story, and you can look this up online, but there have been a lot of different interpretations of what was seen, and one that was offered by skeptic Brian Dunning had been that this was just one of the American Airship Company's blimps, and they were giving a VIP tour. But the thing is that how could several different law enforcement officers, one of whom actually managed to take a really bad photograph of the thing with a Polaroid camera, they all described it as being triangular in shape, slow-moving, unlike any aircraft they had ever seen, almost completely silent. Not only do we have the question of why would all of the police officers have completely mistaken the shape of the aircraft? Yeah, it was dark outside, but I mean, they nonetheless said that they could distinctly see due to the lighting on the aircraft itself and also lighting from ground-based sources that this aircraft, whatever this thing was triangular-shaped. You know, Dunning respects his opinion for trying to come to a conclusion about this, sure, but he doesn't give us any kind of a reason why a VIP tour would have been given at 3 a.m., nor is there any information provided in terms of records of flights by that airship company in that area at that time that would conclusively prove that that's what it was. I mean, in other words, the skeptical determination was equally speculative. And frankly, in some ways, I find it just as credulous as the notion that this was some crazy aircraft from Zeta 2 Reticuli. So I think that there's something. And I have seen photos, I've spoken with people over the years. Dunning and others have argued, of course, that, well, but you know, these things being triangular in shape, no two descriptions of the aircraft seem to match. But there are a lot of consistencies that do remain, largely that it's a large triangle, slow-moving, dark-colored, sometimes a reddish light in the center on the underside, the base. So I do think that there are aircraft that exist. I don't know whose they are. In likelihood, they're probably some sort of a stealth technology, perhaps a stealth blimp. How do we study these things? Can we rely on the government to do that? Well, if they are government aircraft, probably not, coming back to the question from forums.theparacast.com. So what we do have, however, are civilian flight tracking technologies like flight radar and others. You know, you can download that app on your iPhone. We're getting to a point more and more where tracking capabilities can be easily managed from your home computer, from your smartphone, when you're standing out there in the yard looking at the stars at night. And I think that we are seeing right now, and ever increasingly so, Gene, technologies that are freely available or easily accessible to the civilian public, which I think are going to help people, if they are conscientious in their efforts in doing so, really rein in on the varieties of technology that may be flying around in our sky, and our ability to observe those and think and observe them critically. It's going to, I think, improve over time, but it takes a conscientious effort in order to do so. We can't just go out there and say, dang, there's another UFO. I think people need to educate themselves about what they're seeing and the technologies that can improve their ability to observe those kind of things. So we're seeing a trend going in that direction. So I would say it's hopeful. And, yeah, maybe in the coming years with flight radar tracking technologies and things like this, you know, improved night vision technologies and things, that we will hopefully begin to learn some more about these. But, again, what we have been studying for a long time, it may not at the end turn out to be what we have long thought it was, what Kehoe may have thought it was.
I hear what you're saying. I hope. I'll try to remain optimistic. On the other hand, maybe the forces behind the UFOs don't want us to solve it.
Yeah, that's always a possibility, too. You know, I mean, I'm not one that tends to gravitate, Gene, toward the dark, nefarious conspiracy. I think listeners of this show who've heard me and who have endured my many appearances on this show with you pick that up from me. But part of the reason why is because I am hopeful that maybe there will be certain resolution that is brought to the study in the years to come. That is, barring, of course, that whoever or whatever is behind the technology isn't in this to remain kept away and hidden.
Well, I don't know. I think part of what it is that UFOs may be an educational process, and that's why it never gets solved.
That's similar to what Jacques Vallée has said. You know, whether or not there is a control mechanism or something that is re-engineering and reordering the way that we perceive reality, you know, that's a pretty far out there idea. But I mean, what if in certain circumstances, certain things that we are capable of perceiving, we nonetheless are incapable of perceiving correctly? That makes sense. And so the mind presented with something that is so far out there and so mind numbing and so awe inspiring, we can see it, but the mind interprets phenomena in very strange ways. We already know this through our psychological studies of the last several decades. What if, I mean, could there be any phenomena known to exist that were so strange that as a person is perceiving it, our mind attempts to reorder it into some sort of a component that can fit into the reality that we know and that we understand, those things we're comfortable with? That is an argument some have raised about UFOs over the years. It could be that part of the misperception of the phenomena, if indeed one exists, is that it is so strange and so far beyond human conception that our mind struggles to reckon with it. And our perception of the phenomena is our mind, again, kind of trying to reorganize data, which is far beyond what the mind is, the human mind at least, is designed to be able to comprehend. Vallée and others have made that argument. And I mean, who knows? Maybe that is in some of those far out cases, the stranger UFO cases. Maybe there is an element to it that is the human mind itself struggling to try and comprehend something it wasn't designed to be able to relate to.
Well, there you go. There you go. In any case, this is something that we will continue to go on with, and hopefully if it doesn't happen during my lifetime or Chris's lifetime, it will happen with Micah's lifetime because he's much, much younger. He's a young whippersnapper.
Well, I'm older than I look, and I certainly feel older than I am. We'll leave it at that. And I hope that within my lifetime, I get to actually talk to Chris O'Brien again, because, you know, I've missed him the last few times I've been on the show. So here's sending some good vibes to Chris and everything. And I know he had some health issues before, so I'm sure he's on the mend, and look forward to talking with him next time.
Indeed. Indeed. Please tell us, Micah Hanks, where we can find more of the stuff that you do.
Of course, yes. Yeah, of course, the podcasts are at Graylien Report, graliereport.com. For those who are interested in hearing some of my opinions on current events, news, and, yes, even the dreaded P-word, politics, you can go to middletheory.com, which is where we put up the weekly podcast that is not related to the unexplained, that my co-host, Mr. McNonymous, Christopher McCollum, and I do. And then finally, of course, all information about me, articles, all kinds of other things, too, and contact information is at my website, MicahHanks.com. Those are the ways to reach me, Gene, and, of course, anybody out there who'd like to, you're welcome.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. You can find us on Facebook if you look for the Paracast Fan Club, and you'll find, too. How about that? I have a second radio show called The Tech Night Owl Live about personal technology that you might want to check out. You'll also want to check out the Paracast Plus. Go to plus, P-L-U-S dot theparacast.com. That's plus dot theparacast.com, where we offer several special features. One, a commercial-free version of this show, free of the network ads. We also offer the After the Paracast podcast, which is an amazing and unpredictable show. You never know what's going to happen on After the Paracast. You never know at all, because we don't know. It's something that we allow last-minute events to dictate whether we just do color commentary or have a special guest. You can subscribe to this and more. The Paracast Plus, go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. Prices start just $1.49 a week. We even have lifetime subscriptions. Micah Hanks, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Always a pleasure, Gene.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.